Coming up on All About Android, Flo gives a review of the Lenovo Smart Clock. We also take a look at the Moto Z4 with Ron. I've got the On 10.1-inch tablet from Walmart. We also discuss how in-display cameras are the next big thing. Google mobile search results have augmented reality embedded in them. Your emails and a whole lot more coming up next on All About Android.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
This episode of All About Android is brought to you by CashFly. Give your users the seamless online experience they want. Power your site or app with CashFly CDN and be 30% faster than the competition. Learn more at twit.cashfly.com. And by ZipRecruiter. What if you had your own personal recruiter to help you find a better job? Well, now ZipRecruiter's technology can do that for you. Download ZipRecruiter's job search app today. And by LegalZoom, check out LegalZoom today to see how they can make life better for you and your business. Visit LegalZoom.com and enter AAA at checkout for 10% off with LegalZoom's limited time friends and family discount. Hello and welcome to All About Android, episode 423, recorded on Tuesday, June 4th, 2019, your weekly source for the latest news, hardware, and apps for the Android faithful. I'm Jason Howell.
And I'm Ron Richards.
And boom. I'm Florence Ion.
How's it going, y'all? It's good to have you back in the studio.
It's good to be back.
Yeah, we've got you. Cool. We've got a product that we're going to dive into a little bit later.
Yes.
Product
unnamed.
That will be unnamed, but it's a little nubbin. It's a cute little device,
really,
I have to say. It's good to have all three of us here. And joining us, that was it. Joining us today, the triumphant return of Ant Pruitt, Tech Republic.
Triumphant.
The one and only.
The one and only Ant. How are you, Ant?
I am unbelievable. Victory is mine.
Wow. He's declaring victory 2 minutes into the show.
No kidding.
Everyone, this is impressive.
This could be a foresight into the arena, mm-hmm. the results. Mm-hmm. Maybe Ant really does know how to see the future. Have a time machine. You've already gone a week ahead in the future, and you know that you won.
I won, so I'm going to continue the streak.
Wow, I like the confidence.
I like the confidence as well. It's great to have you, man. It's awesome to have you back.
I was going to say he might have one quarter better chance because, unfortunately, I'm not going to be here for the arena because I need to head out in a little bit. But I think we're going to bend the rules, Jason, right? Because I did submit an app for the arena.
Yeah, I'm not sure how this is going to work because you're basically asking me to do your bidding.
I'm dubbing you my representative, and I gave you a little statement about the app.
I think
it will speak for itself. That's all. Let's just leave it at that.
Hey, don't worry, Ron. You still got no shot.
I was just so cocky about my app last week. I didn't want to lose my momentum. You know?
I know. You're like, even though I'm not going to be on, can I please have this app in the arena?
I was just so blown away by this. I wanted you guys. So even though I got to leave in a little bit, I'm going to watch the show later tonight to see what the reaction is. So.
Yeah. All right. Good. It is a great app, by the way. Very perplexing app. And we will talk about that later. But before we do that, let's talk about some news, Victor.
I like to tell my phone, you don't need to be ashamed of your camera.
Yeah.
You be you.
You be you, camera. It's okay. Is this all about shame, camera shame, this next trend in smartphone technology? What do you think, Flo?
I don't think so, but it's definitely going to be a trend. If you've ever wondered what a camera would be like underneath the display, it may soon become a reality for all of us. So the next big thing is... That's right, in-display cameras. Xiaomi and Oppo have both tweeted about their own in-display camera tech. And in both videos, the displays are notchless in normal use. And when the camera is launched, the pixels in front of the camera are blacked out to let the camera through unobstructed. I was reading some Twitter threads about this as like this rumbling was beginning.
Yeah.
And I agree with a lot of people that this doesn't sound like a good idea.
Why?
Because it puts something in front of the camera.
Uh-huh.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean, the only way it would work is if it were something like a polarized glass or something of that sort. Like if it functions.
You don't know that it's not. I mean, they wouldn't do it unless they had a workable.
It's true. I don't know that it's not. That's right. Very true.
Yeah. But I mean, I gotta admit, my future of a bezel-less world. The only way this can happen is if we can figure out how to get the cameras inside the glass.
Really pushing for it.
I am. I'm pro it. And what do you think of this development?
I saw this and it didn't really make me, you know, react one way or another, because essentially the like I'm looking at this Pixel 2 right now. I mean, that camera is still up under some sort of glass.
That's true.
You know, yeah. and it's out of the way. You know, so this is just another cosmetic change for these smartphones. It's not going to change functionality. It's just cosmetic. So whatever.
I will say that, and we're going to talk about it in the next story, but I've recently upgraded to the OnePlus 7.
OnePlus 7 Pro or regular? OnePlus,
I'll show you because.
Yeah. Ooh, oh, okay. All right. Now we know.
There it is. And I got to say, and thanks to my mobile phone fairy godmother Flo and the fine folks at OnePlus for hooking me up with this. But after going to completely full bezel, full glass, no notch after about a year plus of having phones with notches, I don't know how I lived with a phone with a notch now.
I just saw a little light, by the way.
I did too. Yeah, it came through on the screen. What is that light? Is it a proximity sensor?
I think it's a proximity sensor or something of the sort.
Okay, because it was flashing
a little bit.
It's
like an IR thing
feed.
Sort of thing. I don't know, but I saw it.
So now that you've gone bezel-less, you can never go bezel again.
It's hard to go bezel. It's hard
Once
to go bezel.
Once you go bezel-less, so, you can't go back. I mean...
Well, this is a good segue about bezel-less, if I can move on.
We're moving on.
So I did get the OnePlus 7 Pro, and it's great, except that I've been having weirdness when I'm using it. I don't know if it's because it's so big or because of the curved glass, but when I'm using apps, it feels like that I'm getting touches that I'm not actually touching. Mm-hmm. And it's actually because OnePlus confirmed that there is a problem with Phantom Touch on the OnePlus 7 and OnePlus 7 Pro. And OnePlus said that it is a software problem, not a hardware problem. And they're going to be releasing a firmware update in upcoming weeks. They've received limited reports of different touchscreen issues in certain apps like Messages and CPU-Z and things like that. And I can attest I have noticed funkiness in the touchscreen and phantom touches and things like that within the first 48 hours using the phone. I was like, oh, I didn't touch that. So I'm looking forward to this firmware update because I really like this phone. It's just weird touches happen. But I'll take weird touches in favor of the pop-up selfie camera and the bezel-less design.
And 12 gigs of RAM, by the way. Don't forget that thing is stuffed with 12 gigs of RAM on there.
Yeah. Yes, so much RAM. It's actually heavier to carry around. There's so much RAM.
you'll never be thirsty for processing power ever again. Yeah. At least not for the next 2 years.
How long did they know about this issue?
I didn't experience this on the OnePlus 7 Pro that I use. Or maybe I did and I just didn't know what I was looking at. But it's a thing. Not all of these devices are encountering this, right? It's not every device.
Which is weird because you would think that if it's a software problem, it would affect every device if they're all on the same software. Yeah,
exactly.
That's weird.
Huh. So I'm like, well, they knew something about this, you know. So it's just my theory.
So, and are you at all skeptical that they can roll out a software update and fix this for the few devices that it does affect when it's not affecting everyone? Like, I don't know. Does that seem to compute for you?
I think there's going to be a line of other devices eventually having that problem, you know. But again, that's just me and my tinfoil hat. So that's why I asked, how long did they know about this? Because I'm thinking about it from a app development standpoint or SDLC standpoint, all of the testing and research and whatnot. Somebody had to know something was going on and went ahead and said, let's go ahead and ship it anyway. We can fix it in an update, lickety split kind of thing.
Yeah, so I was reading on Reddit about this earlier today, and there was a comment in there where someone said Motorola had this issue with one of the X or Z phones, and they said that there was a software fix for it as well, but it never quite fixed it for everyone. So that kind of gives me a little bit of pause. Like, if this is something that's happening, is it like one of those issues? Like, this happens, and we've seen it many times where phone releases realize that there's an issue with it, software update to fix it. Only then a couple of months later, we realize it didn't quite fix it for everyone, software update to fix it. And that satisfies people. But then we realize, and it just throughout the course of its life, it's this random little kind of sneaky thing that doesn't appear for everybody, but it's always kind of lurking there. And some people just have a crazy problem with it, and software update never fully fixes it. So hopefully that doesn't happen here.
Go ahead, Flo. I was just going to say, to OnePlus's credit, they handle all of that on their own. So if something is going wrong, I'm sure that there's a bunch of folks that have been talked to about it.
Okay, and then you remember how Samsung wouldn't dare stoop down to the level of eliminating the headphone jack on their premium phones?
Liar.
Remember? Did they say that? I don't know if they actually said that, but it really kind of seemed...
They also said they'd launch the Bixby Home, and we still haven't seen that.
Good point.
Sorry, go ahead.
Well, apparently that's about to change. Note 10 is going to see, according to rumors to David Ruddick at Android Police, that the end of the headphone jack on Samsung phones. And, you know, if anyone out there is a Samsung fan and they love Samsung because of that headphone jack, they should be playing their own rendition of Taps to themselves every night as they fall asleep.
All Samsung phones are just the Note 10? Because I could see them eliminating it on the Note 10 and then just having it be like performance device of like the next gen stuff. Ooh, no headphone jack. Ooh, it does this.
I don't know.
It has a stylus.
It's a good question because their notes and their galaxies always seem to kind of inform each other. It's like one does it and then the next one
does it. The S Pen hole is also a headphone jack.
Oh man, that'd be amazing.
That would be pretty interesting.
Let's see them pull that off.
What do I do with the pen?
From a technological standpoint, I don't know how you pull that off, but that would be interesting.
Not gonna hold my breath on that one.
I don't think so. Apparently, they're also gonna eliminate physical buttons. And I think we'd heard about this before, and I do not think that the Note 10 would be the first phone to do it, but getting rid of the power button and the volume rocker in lieu of like a touch sensitive area.
It's inevitable.
Yeah, and that's always the phone where they test like this stuff to kind of see how it really resonates with the folks who are willing to pay this much money for the Note 10 version. Because it's more money than the regular old GS flagships.
Let's see what people will actually pay for. Let's see if they'll pay for this. Yeah, they do. They keep paying more than $1,000.
And if it breaks, then we put it in the hands of journalists everywhere.
Yes.
And then recall it and just take it off the market, even though there's still mentions of it in pop culture.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's for sure.
That's the playbook right there. You detailed it. All right, Ron, you got the ad.
Yes, all right. We want to thank our first sponsor of this episode of All About Android, Cashfly. And give your users the seamless online experience they want. Power your site or app with Cashfly CDN and be 30% faster than your competition. 30% is huge. Being faster is always better. Cashfly is your way to do it. So no matter what industry your business is in, or if your website is directly tied to company revenue, give your customers the fast downloads they need with Cashfly. Cashfly CDN delivers rich media content up to 10 times faster than traditional delivery methods and up to 30% faster than other major CDNs. Backed by a 100% SLA, Cashfly guarantees the best user experience for all your customers, no matter where they are or what device they're on. Join the thousands of others who trust Cashfly's reliable network, including LG, Microsoft, Adobe, and Ars Technica. Those are some major players in the market, and if they trust Cashfly, you should too. I know Cashfly has been around. I've been working with Twit. Before that, I was at Revision 3. Cashfly was always behind everything and making sure everybody got their content fast and in a seamless manner. Cashfly is just so powerful. If you need to serve media, Cashfly is the way to do it. So say goodbye to logging in multiple times a week, or worse, even daily, trying to track your CDN usage. You get no billing spikes. Get a custom plan tailored to your CDN needs based on yearly usage trends. On average, customers who switch to Cashfly save more than 20%. So just imagine what you could do with that 20% and your time. And just for Twit listeners, listen, we got a special. Cashfly is giving away a complimentary detailed analysis of your current CDN bill and usage trends. See if you're overpaying 20% or more for your CDN. Learn more at twit.cashfly.com. That's twit.cashfly.com. And we thank Cashfly for their support and their awesome CDN service. Thanks, Cashfly.
Thank you, Cashfly. Because we literally would not be
True.
We wouldn't be serving you video for as long as we had without Cashfly. So thank you.
Serving video is not easy, and Cashfly has perfected it. Absolutely. So thank you, Cashfly. Yeah.
All right. Cool. And with that, it's time for a bunch of hardware. This is big hardware. Yeah. Let's do it. All right.
So, funny story about last week's show. Jason, can I peel back the curtain for everyone?
Yes, peel back the curtain.
We had a story on last week's show about the Motorola Z4 being leaked, that somebody was able to purchase it from Amazon and have it delivered. And in the article we showed, it showed pictures and all this sort of stuff. And I had to sit there with my mouth closed because I literally was at the Motorola Z4 launch event right before we recorded. And unfortunately, I was under NDA.
I couldn't
talk about it. And so I was literally sitting doing the show, holding the Moto Z4.
Stroking the box.
While you were speculating. And as you talked about all the things that, like, it says it's this, it says it's that. And I was just like, yep, it is. Yep, that's it. Yep, that's it.
But I can't say a single thing.
Sure enough, there is the Motorola Z4. I was at the launch event, got to see Motorola's presentation about their explosive growth. They did a whole section in the presentation before they even got to the Z4 about how Motorola is the only OEM that has sales increasing in the mobile phone market, and how they're just doing great, and the things they're doing with the 5G network in Chicago and all that amazing stuff. But then they got to the Z4 and they officially launched it. It looks very familiar to the previous Moto Z, to the Z3. If you remember that, it's got the quarter sized phone there. It's got the pogo pins for the Moto mods. Looks very, very similar, but they did pack some impressive updates within it. So it's a 6.4-inch max vision display with in-display finger sensor, which now is at the point where I feel like that's industry standard. Like, I'm so used to that fingerprint sensor. It's got a Snapdragon 675 with 4 gig of RAM, 128 gig of storage. It's got a micro SD card, 25 megapixel selfie camera with quad pixel technology. Got a little notch, a little teardrop notch at the top. You can't see it here, but it does. I don't like the notches now. Anyway, but it's got that crazy 48 megapixel rear camera with OIS, also with quad pixel technology. It's got USB 3.1 Type C. It's running Android 9 Pie. Comes in two colors, flash gray, which is the one I got here, and frost white. And like I mentioned, it comes with it's Moto Mod compatible, so it works with all previous generations of Moto Mods. So remember, 2 or 3 years ago when I was showing the first Moto Mods and the Alexa speaker and the projector and all that stuff, those all still work on this.
That's awesome.
And in fact, I don't know if it's a testament to how few they've sold, but all Moto Z4s come with the 360 camera. So this comes out of the box. So now I have two of these, but nonetheless, one drawback of this is that, it doesn't quite fit exactly the same way. It's tell here through my Skype, but there's a little bit of a ridge and a lip when it snaps in. It doesn't snap in as cleanly as the previous generations because the bezel is slightly different than the previous models, but it still snaps in. It still works. If you don't get hung up on that little lip, it's totally fine. And first impressions of the phone, much like when I looked at the Moto G line for Motorola a couple months ago, is that it's solid. It's close to Android stock. It's got very little customization or, you know, kind of UI on top of it. It lets Android does what it does well. It has all the Motorola stuff that makes the Motorola phone special, like their nightshade or night vision version in the camera. And it's, you know, it's impressive. And if you've bought into the Moto Mod platform with the previous generations, all your mods will work. So that's pretty cool. But honestly, the best thing I think about this is the price. All those specs that I talked about and a phone that can be that we see here on the screen that can be upgraded to 5G if it's in your market with a Moto Mod, you can get it for $499. And that's $499 at Verizon or unlocked at Best Buy, Amazon, or B&H Photo, which is crazy. So it comes out June 6th, which is in 2 days from now, Thursday. Next week, I'm going to do a full review after using the phone for a couple weeks. You know, just kind of my first impressions of it are that it's a solid upgrade. Motorola continues to be, I don't say workman in a way that's negative, but it's very much, you know, like the phone works at a really good price and it's got the best parts of Android that you want from it. And I think the Z4, you know, the Moto Mod aspect, if you buy into it, adds a level of, you know, kind of expansion and power that other phones don't, that you can do other cool stuff with depending on what your interests are. They have a gamepad that you can attach into if you're a gamer. They've got that camera, you know, camera attachment if you want to get into digital photography. It's still neat. It's just a fun phone to kind of own. But if you're a Verizon customer and you don't want to spend $1,000 on a phone, I think this is going to be a good option for you. So, there's the Moto Z4. I'm glad to see the Moto Mods still survived because we were worried they were going to go away.
Yeah. So. I mean, this is a long time that they've supported this. At the same time, some people have complained that it holds them back to a certain degree as far as like their options for design and kind of revitalizing the design of their phones. A lot of times they end up kind of looking very similar because they've got to be able to make sure to fit that like standard Moto Mod, clip on to snap on
they
the
just
back.
Keep increasing the display.
Yeah.
The edge of the
display. Yeah, right. Or, the display just gets bigger. The notches get smaller.
Because they're going to catch hell the first time they put out a phone that doesn't work with those previous Moto Mods. That's the problem with it. That's the problem with a hardware-based expansion system. But for now, they're committed to it. And I got to say, the one thing about the 5G thing is neat to see that you can buy a phone and be able to snap an expansion pack and have it be 5G compatible. That's great. But dang, that 5G Moto Mod pack is thick. Oh, it turns your phone into a bit of a brick. If that's the future of 5G, I hope that we see the 5G technology get smaller because our phones are going to get fat again, which we're so close to having thin phones. So
that's the price you pay for fast in the 5G age.
Yeah, but so I'll be back next week with a full review of it. But I wanted to give everyone kind of a glimpse and share the fact that I knew the truth last week and I couldn't say it.
And you couldn't say anything. Now you've confirmed
you
it all.
The truth.
Moto Z4. So. Awesome.
I remember the it was the Moto X, but then it was the phone right after the Moto X. It was a mini something other. I can't remember, but I remember holding that phone and thinking, wow, this is pretty close to vanilla Android. And I really, really enjoyed that phone. The missus had it. Camera on it stunk, but operational standpoint, it was a really nice phone and pretty clean, not a lot of bloat and crap. And it's nice to see that this is still continuing with this Moto line. That OS still looks clean, and now you have this smoking fast hardware. I'd love to see the camera and how it reacts.
The camera, they had a bunch of demo stations at the launch event, and the camera reacts really strongly. The night mode is as impressive, I think, as the Pixel 1. Maybe not. I think I give the Pixel 1 a bit of an edge, but it's right up there. It's challenging it. I think that you're definitely getting a lot with that camera. But for $499, you can't beat. Yeah. I don't think you can beat that price point. Like that. That's what I think is great. If Moto is really seeing this great success and they've got a volume business that allows them to bring their cost per unit down to $499, that's a great product differentiator in the marketplace, I think. So
for a flagship,
Sure.
Man, I mean, this is
for a high-end phone.
I mean, this is as high-end as they're getting, right? They don't even have
this
anything
flagship,
that's high.
Yeah.
So yeah, there you go.
So
all right, Ron, you got to split.
I gotta bid you all adieu. I gotta get to work. But enjoy the rest of the show, and I'll tune in later to see how the arena works out. Jason, don't let me down.
Oh, don't worry. Your app is in good hands. I'll totally take care of you, Ron.
See, Jason, you're a good man, and that's why I trust you. I know I can do. I can trust you.
Even though we're duking it out for last place right now, don't worry. I'll totally take care of your app and make sure that you beat me this week. Yeah,
I'm sure you will. All right, Ant, great to see you as always, guys. Enjoy the rest of the show.
Likewise, my man. Take care.
Hello. I can't wait to watch about your smart clock later on, so we'll talk later.
Bye, Ron. Have a good night. Bye. All right. Excellent. So, Flo.
Shall we segue?
You've got a thing.
I've got a thing. It's not just a thing. It's actually a smart clock, which is, I guess, a new kind of category
that
we're looking
at
in the Google Assistant family. Yes, this right here is a clock. It's been next to my bedside for a little while now. Let's see if I can do
this backwards. The Lenovo Smart Clock.
The top that you see over here has, I'm doing this all this backwards.
I know, right?
Has two volume buttons, so up and down, very easy to feel when you're just like, have your hand over, you know, the
stumbling in the middle of the night.
Yeah, exactly. you guys like my marker that I put, my piece of paper?
Okay. That's awesome.
I'm thinking maybe I should bring this actually over with me and do it over here. All right. So, yes, I'm holding the Lenovo Smart Clock. As you can see, it's very small. This is a lot smaller than you will see the Nest Hub. It's actually a 4-inch screen. That's a 480 by 800 resolution, an IPS screen that you have right here. A single ambient light sensor. It is not the same as the one that's in the Nest Hub, but it does work to not blast your eyes at night and, you know, to stay nice and dim. So on the back is a hard physical mute button. So mic mute, mic unmute. And we've also got a USB-A port for charging your phone. I charge my Galaxy Active Watch with this. Kind of saves on some space from the ports that I have by my bed.
Oh, yeah, that's nice.
So even though it looks like a mini little Nest Hub, it doesn't actually match it in features. Or the Home Mini, which is kind of what this carpet effect It's Google's carpet aesthetic, which is nice. It's a very like it blends in nicely with the home. It looks really nice in my in my bedroom. Like I don't mind it as far as style goes.
Did all of the industrial designers go to the same school? Because you're seeing that on everything now.
Yeah. Well, to be fair, I mean, anybody who studied the school of Johnny Ive is making things look like the way Johnny Ive wants it. So I imagine it's the same now for Google Assistant products, right?
Yeah.
To kind of keep everything. So the nice thing about this is it's got a, because it's a clock, it's got a helpful little button here in the corner, and that will take you directly to all of your alarms. Sorry about the glare, folks. There are, let's see, 10 different clock designs. I think you have to do them to the Google Home app, if I recall correctly. And you can just hold down and press on it, like on Wear OS, and then you can look through the different faces. I'm not really feeling all of these faces, and I wish that they could be a little more customizable. But for now, this one is pretty good. It tells you the time. It tells you the weather up here. It has a background that matches the weather. So you'll see if it's foggy or sunny based on your little wallpaper. You can, that's supposed to go to the settings. Okay, well, it goes to the alarm clock. And here's how the alarm clock works. So just like on your Android phone, you would go into the alarm clock option. You would choose when to repeat. You would choose the tone. These are different tones that we have on the Pixel phones, for instance. And because there's like a tiny little subwoofer in here, they get very loud. I have a feeling this has been particularly tuned to wake you up in the morning, because I was surprised.
As loud as possible.
This got me going a lot quickly compared to the Pixel alarm that I usually have by my bedside, which is why I actually really would much prefer waking up to this now than the phone. You can set a sunrise alarm, which is when it lights up the screen. And then if you're, I guess if your head is right next to it, that would kind of help you.
Kind of lights up the room a little
bit.
You can do that with Hue bulbs as well.
Yeah,
gradual.
The thing is, guys, I sleep with my window curtains open so I can get up with the sun. So I have no idea if it works or not. I can't tell you. But I can tell you that the Google Assistant routine works. It only does the good morning routine, though, which is a real bummer. So you have to go into the Home app and you have to specifically set this routine for what you want it to do. I set it up.
News or something like that.
I have it to turn on certain lights in my bedroom and start up some lights in the other parts of the room, and to like read my agenda, and also to, I will go in every other night and change the podcast so I can get like a different podcast every couple of mornings. So, you know, I try to customize it, but I wish that I could have it be a little more programmable than that. There's no camera on this, so you don't have to worry about anybody looking
in. Thank you.
It's not helping. It's not happening.
Probably a good idea not to have a camera in your alarm.
Yeah, especially because you're sleeping with it right next to your head.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, it's literally right next to my head. So I have two assistants in my room right now. I have the Google Home speaker up by the TV, which is hooked up with a Chromecast. And I have this by my head. And because I've linked them in the Google Home app, any command that I give this goes straight to my Google Home speaker. So if I want to play music, it'll go there instead of playing out of this. So I'm not actually getting any audio out of this. It's pretty much acting as a controller in my bedroom. If you don't set it up that way, though, it still works kind of like a Nest Hub. So everybody, close your microphones, because I'm gonna call on Google's. Hey, play some 90s music.
So Spotify playlist.
Arrgh. Okay, it's playing on the speaker at my house.
Because it's linked up to your house.
Yeah, I tried to unlink it before the show happened, but clearly, hey, stop casting. Because now
your husband is like, why is there suddenly 90s music
playing?
It's
only the cat. She's getting 90s music right now. I will say this screen, very easy to just kind of paw at when you're very tired and can't really see it in the morning. Like I said, the alarms are really loud, so you will get up with this. And they're gradual, too. So you'll get the gradual feature the way that you would on your Pixel phone if you would choose that. Because I have listened to the speaker quality, although I can't directly cast it now, I will say it's about on par with a Home Mini. However, you're going to find from the Google Home app and from the casting mechanism that you can't cast a lot of stuff to this. So maybe you want to just hear podcasts out of it. That's fine. That'll work. But if you wanted to catch up on YouTube TV, it doesn't give me the option to cast it to this.
So can you watch any YouTube video on this at all?
I don't think you can, because every time I look for it, it's not available. And now I'm saying this.
I see that as a feature.
Yeah. I'm thinking that's a feature because they don't want you to do that. And so when you read reviews like from The Verge, they'll say, you know, this doesn't have the same feature set as the Nest Hub. And that's what it means, is that you're not going to get this like
perfect sense.
Yeah,
if
you're not going
to
get a
use
tiny
it as a bedside clock or what have you. You don't need that extra distraction with video. Use it as a clock.
Yeah.
It's true, but some of us have trouble sleeping at night and wish that they could like watch real low some Pluto TV to try and go back to sleep.
Well, you still have your phone to do that.
Yeah,
however,
I just
you
do it
did
on
that
my
before,
phone.
You could still do that.
Yeah, I just do it on my phone, but it just feels it's excessive how many of these things I have in my room right now. But it's my job. It's my job to live with them so that you don't have to.
Man, for me personally, I see that as a total feature. Like, that's what keeps me from getting one of these smart screens is that they play YouTube, and my kids will not be able to resist the temptation.
They play music, but they don't.
Yeah. Music? Great. Fine. My kids can play music. Well, maybe not all hours of the night, but they can play music, and I don't care.
I really like
that's
this.
That's YouTube that I want to not have.
I think it's one of those, there's a time and place for everything situations, and this is them saying, you know what, we are a clock. We're going to give you a few smart features to make your morning just a little bit better, a little more efficient, a little more peppy, but we are a clock, and we're not your entertainment device kind of thing.
Right.
Well, but it is an entertainment portal, because if you, like me, have a whole situation in your bedroom set up with different casting devices, you will have this act as the centralized controller. I also really like it because it knows which lights I have in my room, because I have it all programmed in, you know, the Hue app and in the Google Home app. And so I'll be able to actually control the nightstand that's next to me from this right next to my head, which I kind of like.
Okay.
Go in and like adjust the lights. It's so much more convenient than sometimes talking out loud. But speaking of talking out loud, so waking up, what if you want to snooze? You know, you want to sleep another 10 minutes, which I do like 5 times every morning. Unfortunately, you still have to say, hey, G. To do that. So in that sense, this is actually more effective at getting you up in the morning than your phone, because you actually have to talk to it.
Yeah.
You can roll over and hit the on-screen snooze button, but who wants to do that when you're like all curled up in your pillows and blankets? Like, that's the last thing you're going to do. So it's, you know, it's a little thing, but also helps you get up in the morning. You can control this with the Google Home app for Android. And if there are any iOS users out there watching, you can also control it with your iPhone. And it's $80 everywhere alarm clocks are sold. If you're wondering whether you should get this, maybe save your money and apply it towards the discounted Nest Hub. You're going to find that thing is going down in price these days. That doesn't have a camera. It has a 7-inch screen. It's a little bit louder than this one. So if what you want is something to really like groove and jam to and also watch YouTube TV wherever you are, then that is worth the extra money. Because again, for $80, that's a lot for an alarm clock. That's a lot from the days of our Sanyo alarm clocks and our Sony alarm clocks that were a mere $25. So.
Wow, she said Sanyo.
I did. I said Sanyo. My mom still has her Sanyo from like 1985.
That's what's up.
It's still around. But, you know, I'm going to keep it next to my head. I like it. It's a cute little gadget.
It is.
It charges my watch.
question for you regarding it being like your command center. So
yes.
You get an on-screen interface where you can tap to say, I need to turn on my vanity light, you know,
yes.
Or I need to.
Let me show you a demo.
It's all on screen. Okay.
Actually, Jason, if you swipe from the top down.
Okay.
You should. Yeah, there you go. You can see, you can play music. So if you want to, you can turn the bedroom lights on.
Okay. Your bedroom lights are now on.
Okay.
I think.
Yeah, they are.
Okay.
I'm 100%
I don't actually
certain.
Know that for sure, but I'm
I mean, I could check in and see if they are with the millions of security cameras in my house, but I'm not going to do that. But see,
music.
It's going to play music on the...
On your speakers
no.
at home.
No.
Because that's what you got to connect it to, right?
No problem. Music on Spotify. Here you go.
Okay.
Oh. I bet we get it.
You fixed it, maybe.
Hey. Oh, yeah. Good.
Yes. It was perfect.
Yes. Okay. Good. I'm happy that the Lenovo smart clock has good taste in music.
Oh, you can groove to this while you're showering, getting ready for the day.
Music. Oh yeah. Uh huh. Oh, and you get a little album art.
Yeah.
Here, I'll go ahead and turn it down just to. I mean.
Oh,
you know,
nice.
The sound isn't like.
It's a
amazing,
bedroom speaker.
But it's not horrible.
Yeah, it's like for the bedroom.
Yeah. I mean, if this is right next to your head, this is how you wake up in the morning, you're going to get out of bed.
So, unfortunately, you can't wake up to music.
Oh.
There's no, like, Spotify integration or anything like that. Like, I would like to see some specialized integration happening with the smart clock universe.
Yeah, that would be really nice. Like, yes, there should really be wake up to music on this thing.
Yeah.
That's like a feature request that needs to happen.
I mean, honestly, Spotify should just code it into its...
Yeah.
Assistant app, maybe.
Cool. So, I mean, like broad strokes for the cost. Think, you know, there's somebody out there that wants like a simple smart clock. This is a good buy. But for others, maybe think about the larger size.
You know what? If you're buying this for, if you want to buy this for like a parent, maybe an elderly parent, I would suggest maybe looking at the saving your money and looking at the Nest Hub, because at least that one you can watch TV on it.
Yeah.
This one is kind of limited in scope of what can do. But if you find it on sale, I mean, this is a fun thing to have in the house. I just think it needs a little more functionality to kind of be worth the $80 full.
Yeah.
$80 is a lot.
Think this is a $50 device?
I'd pay $50.
Yeah, I would pay only $50 for this. I feel like this is on par with the Home Minis.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's what I was thinking too.
Or maybe $65. Like, but $80. You know what I mean?
$80 feels a little much for this. Yes.
Yeah.
I would completely agree. Cool. That is the Lenovo Smart Clock. Thanks for walking through that.
Thank you.
Love it. I have something that
special,
I mentioned last week on the show. We talked about Walmart and their house tablet. Actually, their technology brand is called On.
Their house tablet, which you can use by sipping on their house wine.
So I went into Walmart and purchased myself one of these On tablets. Don't worry.
He did. He sent me and Ron a picture.
My password is not actually 1234, but it is for the purposes of this demo. I think is the display bright.
Is this on night mode?
No, I just have the display ramped down, I think.
Because it's very yellow.
It is. Maybe it is on night mode. Oh, because 9 o'clock. Yes, it is. Look at that. Because my time zone is not set properly.
Whoopsie.
Thank you. That was
there
a good
go.
Catch. There we go.
Good eye.
Yeah, no kidding. It was kind of yellow. So this is the On 10.1-inch tablet. This sucker costs $79, and you got to go into Walmart in order to buy it. You can't buy it online. You can find out if your store has it.
$80, yes.
Has it online. And my local Walmart had two of these when I went online, so I went into the store. When I went into the store, there were none of these on display anywhere. I literally had to ask someone, hey, do you guys have like a house branded tablet, the On tablet? And at first she had no idea what I was talking about. And she was like, oh, wait a minute. And then she went into like the hidden cabinet and there it was. So if they expect to sell these things, they should probably like put them out is my first suggestion. Anyways, jumping through a few fiery hoops, I finally got there and I got the tablet in my hand. $79 for the On 10.1-inch tablet. They do also have, I think it's an 8-inch version of this, which is $60. I'm doing that off the top of my head. But anyways, this one is the $79. I'm going to do a full review of this. I want to review this on Hot because I want to see.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I just don't get a chance to review many tablets these days. And $79 is totally within that price range.
People are going to buy it.
Well, it's like, what are you going to get? A tablet or are you going to get a Lenovo smart clock? Because they're basically the same cost.
Well, it's right. also right an now, important thing to note because people do shop at Walmart and people do
Absolutely,
buy
do.
Tablets that are this cheap because they don't think that there's any, it's worth paying more than that if you just want
to
maybe browse the web or just like read
an e-book.
All
they're trying to do is get on Facebook.
Yeah,
exactly.
Right.
Or go on Facebook to keep up with the family. Like,
yeah, easy.
You don't need anything fancy for that.
Easy browsing, whatever. Like I've got The Verge that I'm going to pull up here. And so I've only pawed around at this for maybe like a total of about an hour, played a few games, you know, done some web browsing. You know, it's a 1.3 gigahertz quad core processor, unnamed. So I'm not sure what the processor actually is. 2 gigs of RAM, 16 gigs of storage. It does have the SD card slot up there.
Ooh,
that tiny
and it's
little
open.
Thing. It does have a headphone jack. And then, you know, volume rockers, power, and that sort of stuff. The display is, it's a plastic display. It's not a glass display. So you get that kind of tacky quality when you're tapping around, which I'm so used to glass now that, like, that's a little bit of an adjustment for me.
Feels like 2007, not 2019.
Yeah, yeah, but you know, $79, right? Mm-hmm. Like you're paying
so
less.
Are you telling me this thing isn't waterproof?
I'm going to go ahead and guess that this
okay.
thing is not waterproof.
That's okay, you can just buy another one.
Yeah, no, the look of these ports tells me it's probably not waterproof, but who the heck knows?
Version of Android on it.
Oh, this is Pi, Android 9, Pi. I did check the latest update. It ships in the box with January's security update. So it's already a little out of date when you're talking about security updates. Hopefully, and this is one of my big concerns with this, is that it will never get updated. I don't know that for a fact. I would love to know what their plan for updates is.
Should we hold Walmart accountable?
On this? We wondered last week what the little Walmart button down at the bottom does. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Are you ready? It's really exciting. It's exactly what we thought it
does.
Yeah,
exactly.
It takes you to Walmart's
Hello,
suite
Voodoo.
Of apps. Yeah, there you go. There's Voodoo.
You
there's,
do.
There's Walmart's app, Walmart Groceries, Sam's Club, and ebooks and books
I didn't even
Walmart.
Know they had groceries and like an ebook thing. Like,
That's
I don't
no
know the Walmart
from...
universe.
That's no different from Fire tablets, right? Isn't there some type of launch you into the Amazon ecosystem on the Fire tablets?
Absolutely. And that is exactly what this tablet is. It's Walmart's Fire tablet. The difference being that this is running basically a stock version of Android, so you can do whatever you want on it. Amazon's Fire tablet is really just designed around Amazon services. It's not a free form install what you want without hurdles type of Android. So it does have a 0.3 megapixel front facing camera, which is as amazing as you might expect.
Just good enough for Facebook messages, right?
I mean, it really was just kind of so that's Oof. the rear facing camera is a 2 megapixel.
What?
Front,
that's it?
Front facing camera is 0.3.
Ooh. You know what? The camera on my Pixelbook is like the same caliber.
Here, hold on. Let me take a picture.
Dude, you look like Minecraft.
Yeah, I'll hold really still. That'll be the. This is about as good a quality picture.
Oh, it is. It still didn't come out straight.
Oh, man. Okay. So. Tablet cameras always suck, right? Like not always, but
Samsung tablets always had pretty nice cameras, TBH.
Anyways, I'm going to do a full review of this because I thought it would be a fun review to do. And I'm going to do it from the perspective of, hey, yes, of course, it's $79. Take a look at how long it took to go to the home screen after I hit the home button there. Yes, obviously it's $79. This is a, go ahead and label it a cheap tablet. This is in the cheap tablet category. But
affordable.
Yeah, but so does it do, does it watch videos? Does it surf the web in a basic sort of way? That's what people would buy this for. So I'm going to do a review and we can talk about that
next
week.
See how comfortable that is.
Yeah, we'll see what we get.
You know, I would buy this before I would buy those Lenovo stands that people are putting in the kitchen or whatever, because it's cheaper and it's probably going to give you just good enough functionality, and you don't need a
high-powered device if you're just going to put it in the kitchen to have Netflix running while you're cooking, or have the Google Assistant telling you to make sure you put 2 tablespoons of salt in instead of 3, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Seems like it would be perfectly fine. I'd buy this. I'd buy this before that thing Flo just showed off.
I mean, you could actually probably prop up the on tablet. You go to the wide. I could very easily go to the wide, Victor. Very easily the wide. Sorry. I could prop up the tablet.
Do it. Do it.
Oh yeah.
Oh no, that doesn't work. Okay, I thought maybe it could be a nice stand, but it doesn't. Anyways.
Oh, you messed up the.
Oh, I'm sorry. There you go. Little nubbin. So yeah, the On 10.1 inch tablet.
My nubbin can charge other things. Can your thing charge other things?
I don't know. I'll find out. I doubt it.
Probably not.
Highly doubt it. All right. One last thing in hardware.
Yes. Yes. We've got.
This is a big hardware block.
Yeah. We've got the Meizu. It released the 16XS. It's a lot of phone for. Not that much money. So 6.2-inch Super AMOLED Full HD Plus display with an in-display fingerprint sensor that's becoming more common these days. I have a feeling we're just going to see that across the board from here on out. It's got mid-range specs on the inside, though. A Snapdragon 675 processor, 6 gigs of RAM, which is pretty good if you want to play games, 64 or 128 gigs of storage, triple rear cameras, so a 48-megapixel main, along with an 8-megapixel ultra-wide and a 5-megapixel depth sensor to help you do, you know, portrait shots and all of those cool little tricks. There's also a front-facing 16-megapixel camera, so you can take high-res selfies, which maybe you don't want because...
Definitely better selfies than on the On tablet.
Yeah, but at least that one is blurry, you know? Like, I'm okay with the blurry photo versus, you know, you don't want to see all my pores. 4,000 milliamp battery, and it's coming out June 10th. For $250 or $298 for that 128 gig version. It's coming to China first and then EU and India in July. And this is just another reminder of the phones that America can't have.
Wah, wah. But seriously, the phones that, like, crazy low price.
Look at the aesthetic on these phones. All the stuff you get.
I dig this. I wonder if old Mr. Mateo will get his hands on one of these.
You better get his hands on the cool one, that orangey pinky one that's in there with the purple sheen.
So the article that we linked to is the Tom's Guide article where the headline is like, this $245 phone makes you wonder why the hell people spend $1,000 on a flagship. This seems to be a theme that is repeating itself this year. And it's not a theme that's new to this show. We've been talking for a while about
if it's good enough for everybody else.
Yeah, that door is opening a little bit wider, a little bit more visibility. OnePlus is doing a great job of opening that door here in the U.S. I think in other parts of the world, you know, it's a little bit. Yeah, that's true. But
look how nice this phone is. See, this is my kind of thing.
$245.
Because I like a bezel. Yeah. I'll take a bezel, but I'll take something nice and soft like this. You know, that's a very inviting bezel.
Yeah.
I'm not the only person that likes bezels, apparently. That's what's up. Because I have large fingers, mm-hmm. large hands or whatever, and sometimes that thin bezel is a nuisance.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Like, trying to do certain things.
Yeah.
Have your own phantom touch issue.
And I like to use my phones near water.
Yeah. Meizu 16XS. Who knows? Maybe we'll get one on the show. We got an email. This actually is related to the On kind of topic from a few minutes ago. Craig wrote in to say, Flo scoffed at the On VR glasses. I think we all kind of scoffed a little bit. $5. Jason commented that they would be like Google Cardboard. That was more a guess. Like, if it's $5, it's probably like Cardboard, not Daydream. That's what I meant. But Craig says, I bought a pair on sale for $1. I was quite impressed. The over and around head straps and face padding made them quite comfortable to wear. The lenses each had a spacing adjustment as well as independent focus, which adjusted smoothly and stayed where they were were set even with head movement. They held my Pixel 2 XL phone with no problem. I was able to use the headset with 3D and 360-degree videos on YouTube. I was also able to use them with some free VR programs in the Play Store. Apps which used on-screen menus worked fine. Some apps required a button to be clicked, right, and those don't work because
there's no remote.
There is no button on this. It's a straight-up kind of holster for your phone.
I forget about that button.
Strictly a viewer.
Just a viewer. That's all it is. Craig says, my only issue was that they didn't fit my nose well because an edge rested on the bridge. I plan to add a piece of craft foam to the nose piece and possibly grind out the upper part of the nose piece as well.
For a dollar?
Yeah. Hey, you know what? Make it work for you. If you've got the ability, sure enough, go for it. So you could do a lot worse for a dollar. You could do a lot worse for $5.
And it's good to see that the thing I scoffed at is not a totally crappy thing. It's good to see that, like, you could get a $5 viewfinder.
Yeah, that's basically what it is. Yeah. It's like a viewfinder. We actually have one in studio, but out of reach. But it's kind of like that. This is not a daydream viewer, so it's not the fully integrated thing. But
having that over the top strap on there is a big advantage because I still have that daydream, and that's the one gripe that I have is it only straps around my big head and not across the top of my big head. But other than that, I still like Daydream. I'm probably one of three people on the planet that still uses it somewhat regularly to watch Netflix or Hulu or something just when I'm trying to get away,
zone out, if you will.
Yeah. That helps isolate, isolate out the environment and focus.
It's a good way to watch Golden Girls. Just go all in.
It's the only way to watch Golden Girls.
Just go all in.
Is VR.
Just me and the four gals.
That's what they say.
I cue that up. I still have my old cardboard here, too.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, yeah.
I haven't seen a cardboard in such a long time.
I was clearing out some stuff in my garage. Well, I've been bringing in pieces as I've been finding them, and I found the very first cardboard. And
you were lucky to get one. I did not get one that year. They ran out before I could get to it.
It's got a beautiful smudge of oil on the top because it is cardboard, and you push it up against your face.
And people are greasy.
Yes, exactly. We are human beings, and we are greasy. So
we're porous. Yes. So
it's bound to happen.
We're living beings.
Hey, let's thank the sponsor of this episode. This episode of All About Android is brought to you by ZipRecruiter. You probably know this. You know, if you've ever looked for a job, it's a lot of work. It's a lot of work finding a job. It's its own job in and of itself. You got to know where to go to find the jobs. You know, are you searching online some random, job marketplace? Where are those jobs posted? Usually, it can be kind of a challenge to find them. What if you had your own personal recruiter to help you find a better job? And ZipRecruiter's technology can do that for you with its number one rated job search app. And this is it. It's right here. This is ZipRecruiter's job search app. You can let it know what kind of jobs you're interested in, and it starts doing the work for you. It also kind of notifies you along the way as new jobs appear. ZipRecruiter's app finds jobs you'll like and puts your profile in front of employers who may be looking for someone like you. If an employer likes your profile, ZipRecruiter lets you know. So if you're interested in the job, you can then apply. You can download ZipRecruiter's job search app today and let it find you a better job. Based on a third-party survey, 7 out of 10 people who found a new job on ZipRecruiter increased their salaries. These were the results of a 2017 U.S. survey of over 500 ZipRecruiter users who got hired for a job that they found on ZipRecruiter. And you can hopefully find your job on ZipRecruiter, too. Download the free ZipRecruiter job search app today. You can let the power of technology work for you in your pocket while you're living your life every day. Don't wait. The sooner you download ZipRecruiter's free job search app, the sooner it can help you find a better job. And like I said, with it running as new jobs post that that match what you're looking for, you get a notification. You can respond to them immediately, so you don't have to remember to go online and search for them necessarily. It tells you when a job appears, so you can apply for that customer service specialist job at Ultimate Staffing in Alameda, California, USA, where their health, vision, and dental are included. This is a temporary position, but if you want it, you can act now. As you can see, here's a bunch of CSR jobs, customer service representative jobs, but there are all different types in ZipRecruiter, and you can take a look at them yourself. So download ZipRecruiter's free job search app today and find yourself a better job. And we thank ZipRecruiter for their support. All right. And speaking of apps, we've got a couple of app news to talk about.
Just a few.
A couple of app news, or a couple of app newses. News. Knees. I don't know. I know I said that wrong, whatever it was.
Purposefully.
Let's see here. At Google I.O., do you remember at I.O., they showed off how AR was going to be inserted into mobile search? Mm-hmm. You were going to do a web search, and then you were going to get a result that showed you the ability to bring in AR features.
Yes.
Well, we can do that now. So I'm going to boost up my brightness here.
Show me the money.
Let's see here. So this, I'm just going to go dog. We'll do that. Do a search for dog. And then you'll get your results, and then you'll search down, and then you'll go, oh, meet a life-sized dog up close. I'm going to turn up the volume because I know. And then view in 3D. It does this thing. And then you have to, well, you take a look. Oh, this is a cute doggy. So view in your space. So I'm going to tap that. My phone does have AR core. So I'm going to scan my space, hopefully. I'm giving it enough. It's kind of hard to do it when you're... I'm trying to like frame and scan at the same time.
We always do this to ourselves.
First, let's find the ground. Oh, yeah, it's looking for the ground, not the table. Okay, I'm sorry. So,
but the table is the ground, AR Core. Listen to me. On. The table's the ground.
No, tilt your phone like horizontal to the table.
Okay. Oh. Hey, there we go. Okay, now that I found it can do it. Okay.
Okay.
So I'm going to go ahead and size it down because it's just a little too big. But there you go. We've got a dog.
Hey, get off the table.
Yeah, what are you doing on the table, dog?
Oh, it's whining.
It's whimpering. So anyways, it's kind of cool, and you can take a picture. Ooh. There we go. I've got a picture of that cute little doggy here. Oh, look at that doggy.
It's America's best friend, the Labrador Retriever.
It is a cute dog, I have to say. You could do a search for shark, brown bear, giant panda, alligator, penguin, tiger, Shetland pony, pug, raccoon, macaw. Starting off with animals, obviously. And I'm sure that AR features are going to broaden out over time. But for right now, it's just animals. And
no velociraptors just yet.
Oh, that would be so cool, though, to be able to just place a dinosaur. We've done that on the show.
Isn't there another Jurassic Park coming out? Oh. There's a Jurassic Park
app.
As
with everything, the Jurassic Park app beat Google to it already. So.
Well.
Yeah, it's a trendsetter, the Jurassic Park app.
You know what else is a trend?
No.
Google killing things.
Oh, that is. That's a very good...
It's a trend. Yeah, it's ongoing.
Definitely a trend.
Just when we think they can't kill anymore, well, they just keep stabbing. Perhaps that was terrible, what I just said.
Wow.
But it's a
joke.
But
it kind of feels true, though.
It's a joke. Google,
yes.
I'm laughing.
Murders.
I laughed the minute I saw this today. The first time I saw this is somebody dropped the link into my Discord this morning, which it was just... hilarious. So Google is getting rid of the Google Trips app. Yes, just when you got really comfortable looking at your life through the lens of the Google Trips app, Google's taking it away from you like candy from a baby. Support for Google Trips will end on August 5th. The feature will be rolled up into Maps. So if you need those things, you'll just go to Maps and then you know what's going to happen is you're going to have to dig in through a bunch of menus just to find out what's going on, right? Because that's how it usually ends up. Google had recently revamped the web service for Trips, and that isn't going away. So if you want to use the online browser-based version, that's available for you at, I'm assuming, trips.google.com.
Oh, and see, I have the little splash page. This is we're saying goodbye to Google Trips, August 5th.
Hey, is this the service that they bought from, was it Niantic many years ago?
Was it Niantic? Did they buy it from Niantic?
The people that did Field Tripper, was it Niantic that did Field Tripper?
I don't know, because this one is all about like recommendations, which I think is why they're rolling it into maps, because they want maps to become like, you go to maps to see what people are eating at restaurants. You go to maps to see reviews of places people have gone to. And so I'm thinking having that bundled into the Maps app will make people want to use it more versus having to have it sequestered in its own little package.
But Maps just gets more and more full of stuff.
I feel like Maps is very bloated, which is why I made that comment too earlier about having to dig in through a menu, because I know all the things that Maps can do, but it's so much digging. I only have so much time.
I mean, on one hand, it totally makes sense that it would fold in there, because some of the stuff that I'm seeing here, I'm like, oh yeah, I'm already used to seeing that in Maps. Yeah. But on the other hand, I do feel like it's getting too full. What were you going to say, Ant?
Well, I figured it would be a good idea, because if you open up Maps, you're either looking for navigational directions or you're looking for a particular place, whether it's a this restaurant or a movie theater or what have you. So you search on the restaurant, it pulls it up, it shows you web page, it shows you pictures from local guide users, it gives you a little bit of a review. It shouldn't be more digging through menus or anything like that. It seems like they would be able to just give you a splash of everything right after you hit search.
Maybe it's just going to be integrated when you go into the home screen. It will take you immediately to Explore. So I imagine it'll just be, you know, an added part of Explore.
Because I'm not really familiar with Google Trips. I might be the only person that never heard of this thing. But I guess it just makes sense just to have it all in the Maps.
It's like TripIt. It's a consolidator. So it's like you don't really do anything to it. It just reads your email, which you already give it access to.
So on one hand, this looks exactly like what we're just looking at, but this is the Maps app. So you can kind of see where the overlap, you know, to a large degree is.
And honestly, I never use Google Trips because I would just swipe over to the big Google Assistant feed.
To
and
your
I
assistant,
would have, I have right everything there.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
It knows about my trips before I do a lot of times.
Yeah.
I forget sometimes. Oh, that's right. I'm going somewhere next week.
I know. I just saw it there. I'm going to Boise this summer. I'm going to Hawaii in November.
I can't believe
you. I bought my tickets.
I can't believe you.
Our tickets.
What island are you going to?
We are going to Maui.
Oh,
you better learn how to surf.
Better learn how to surf?
Better.
Okay.
Yes.
I will take you up on that challenge. Us West Coasters.
Better.
I feel like.
Sorry, Ant. We're being super West Coast.
It's shameful that I don't go to Hawaii more often than I do living on the West
Coast. Man, that's so lucky.
Wait, don't you live in the East Coast, though? Like,
you have a lot of
options. Aren't you in a beach?
Yeah, I'm just 4 hours from the beach, which is not bad, but it's not Hawaii.
True. It's the Atlantic Ocean, which is a different experience.
Yeah.
Not totally a bad one. It's just a different one. It has a different...
It's totally different. Yes. At best, I do get to go on cruises, you know, a little bit easier than you folks.
Yes.
Going to the Caribbean and things like that. But,
right.
And Hawaii
We go to Alaska. Ooh, it's cold.
You know?
I am excited. Sorry, I didn't mean to turn this into...
Listen,
all about Jason's trip to Hawaii.
We're going on trips. I want to hear where you're all going. And tell us where you're going. Write us. Tell us where you're going and what phone you're going to bring with you. Now it's related.
Now we've got a tech.
Now it's related.
Thank you.
You want to bring my smart clock with you? It'll help wake you up so you can go catch the surf.
I'm just going to wake up with the sun.
Yeah.
If I'm going to Hawaii, I'm not waking up to an alarm clock. Speaking of email, Tom Walker wrote in to say, do you have any tips on how to prevent Pixel Slate keyboard, which is the one I'm using, the high-end one with the round keys, he says, from inadvertently moving the screen cursor due to accidental touchpad touches? Often when it happens, which is a lot for me, it doesn't feel like I've touched the touchpad, but I probably did. Have you come across any settings that minimize this? I don't know that I know exactly what you're talking about. But my guess is the only thing that I've noticed that's anywhere similar to what Tom is talking about is that because this is a flexible keyboard, there are times where I've got it on my lap and I'm typing, and you know that's not a perfectly level surface, and so when I'm typing, the keyboard can kind of flex a little bit, and sometimes that can register touches on here instead of me touching the actual touchpad it might register a click or something along those lines. I'm wondering if maybe it's something like that, in which case like, I have
horrible typing posture. On a regular laptop, I will experience that with the touchpad on a regular laptop.
Yeah.
So I definitely had to go in and turn down the mouse sensitivity, and that does make a difference because I know exactly what he's talking about, and it happens a lot with me.
Oh, okay. So it might not just be a sleep thing. Could just be.
It's just the mouse doing mouse pad or trackpad doing exactly what it's supposed to do.
Yeah.
You know?
I like this setup, but I prefer the actual the Pixel the other one. Why is somebody blanking? What is their other one? The Pixels
Pixelbook.
The Pixelbook. Thank you. I'm too many months on the slate now. I prefer the Pixelbook.
What you were blanking on?
that thing. You have no idea what I'm talking about, but that thing. The Pixelbook touchpad I feel like is better. You know, it's kind of a glass touchpad. Maybe a little bit more precise than this like keyboard cover attachment thing. So I don't know if this is as precise, I think is my point. So I'm not surprised that there would be issues like that.
That's why I wasn't interested in it.
Yeah. Well, I'm dedicated.
Yeah.
I'm totally used to
you
it.
You are.
So I'm just, I'll continue until they announce another one. And I'll do that one.
You should try and use that on tablet to get the same work done.
Well, there is an on tablet version that has.
There's an on Chrome OS?
No, it wasn't Chrome OS, but it was an Android 10.1, but with their keyboard attachment. I couldn't bring myself to do it. I was like, I know that's not going to work for me.
Yeah, so, that's probably a train wreck.
Yeah, exactly.
Like the only reason I would do that would be to point out, you know, how it didn't work, because I'm positive that it wouldn't. The tablet itself, I can make that work. Anyways.
Make it work.
We're going to get into the arena. It should be an interesting because I am Ron's proxy this
week. I don't know how I feel about that,
I don't know
how
I feel about it either.
Because
it's an experiment.
That's a thing that seedy politicians do. They send somebody in there. Not that Ron is a seedy politician. That's not what I meant.
No, it's okay. It's okay.
Proxy sounds like some sort of legal jargon, right?
Yeah.
I've just kind of always assumed that when one of us is off, like that's the price. That's the price we pay when we can't do the show, is that we lose our spot in the arena. But
I'll let Ron have this one.
We'll try it this time. We'll see how it goes.
But if he wins.
Oh, boy. Yeah, there will be hell to pay. But before we get there, let's thank the sponsor of this episode of All About Android. This episode is brought to you by LegalZoom. We are now halfway through the year. I know I can't believe it. I'm sure it's hard to believe for you as well. It's never too late to get started on the things that you want to accomplish. You know, we've all got things that we said at the beginning of the year that we wanted to make happen by the end of the year. Maybe we wanted to start a business. Maybe we wanted to, you know, complete our will, you know, because we have a family. We want to make sure that we're protected. But it's that thing you always push off. And then suddenly it's the middle of the year and you still haven't done it. All right. It makes it a lot easier when you have someone to help you along the way. And that's why LegalZoom is extending their friends and family discount to everyone right now. For a limited time, you can get 10% off the things you've had on your to-do list. Now's a great time to do it because you're going to get a discount on it. If you're a small business owner, you can make your accountant happy by saving on your LLC, DBA, S-Corp, and more. You can also save money and secure some peace of mind by wrapping up that last will or living trust that you've been putting off. LegalZoom's not a law firm, but don't worry. If legal questions are holding you up, their network of independent attorneys can provide advice to get you over all the legal hurdles that pop up in your life. So don't wait any longer to get started on your goals this year, because next thing you know, it's going to be the end of the year. There won't be any more time to wait. Visit LegalZoom.com now and save 10% with LegalZoom's friend and family discount. Just be sure to enter AAA in the referral box at checkout. This offer is only available for a limited time, so make sure and hurry to LegalZoom.com now and use code AAA for 10% off. LegalZoom, where life meets legal. And we thank LegalZoom for their support. And now it's time for a very interesting, somewhat strange arena.
So many enter, but only one lives.
Uh-huh.
Android Arena.
heard from someone on Twitter who said, every time you go into the arena, you guys, it sounds like you have a hard time accepting the fact that only one wins in the, like, and I don't know. I don't know if I have a hard time accepting that. I realize that only one wins. There's a finality to it. That's okay, right?
You know, we don't all feel that way, Jason. That's how you
okay.
feel.
All right.
But,
all
you know, so, yeah. some of us...
I did say that's how I feel.
Some of us are in competition with right. each other. Right. Some right. of us who share birthdays.
I see. Okay, I get it. I get
you
it.
You and I don't share a birthday.
No, it's true. We never will.
Yeah.
That's just how birthdays work.
It's true.
Last week, we had a poll, and you guys voted, which is what we do each and every week. And was it Wall P? I think I put it in there as YP. Wait. But I think it's Walp, W-A-L-P. So that was my mistake. No matter. It still won.
Wow.
37%. So that is Team Guest.
Interesting.
Second place, Firefox Screenshots Go Beta. That was Ron. A close second. Only like 5 votes shy. Third place, Toggle. At 16%, that's Flo. And fourth place, 5-Minute Journal. And those kind of apps never do that great, but I thought it was an important app to show.
Shall we read the standings?
Please do,
thanks
Flo.
To our friend in the chat, Wade County. So we've got me in first place at 62. We've got the guests in second at 59. Ron's coming up in third with 45. And Jason is last, but not least, at 42.
I mean, kind of least, because I'm last. And like, least amount of points. Oh, I appreciate it. Thank you, though. Okay, I'm going to change it.
Soften the blow.
Thank you. This is where it all changes for me, because Spotify is our overlord when it comes to music on Android, because Google doesn't care about music anymore, and they expect us to.
Yeah, they did.
They okay. expect us to buy into
I'll
YouTube
you
music,
that.
And I'm sorry. I just like I'm not. I'm
just that's a
it.
Really big claim to make before you're about to go to another topic. But anyway.
What?
That Google doesn't care. Anyway,
Google doesn't care about music. And if they did, they would keep Google Play Music.
Okay, all right.
That's my
fair
point.
Enough. Okay.
That's my point. Some weirdness going on in the dock here.
Oof.
Okay. My app today is by a little scrappy upstart called Spotify. And...
They were when they first started.
Yeah, they were one day, once upon a time. They have a new app that apparently about a year and a half ago, they started an experimental mm-hmm. app called Spotify Stations or Stations by Spotify. They started it in the Australian market. And apparently now, a year and a half later, oh, well, there you go. They've decided that it's ready for everyone. So you can think of this as Spotify's version of Pandora, kind of. It's basically the same approach. It's now released for everybody, and it has a very unique UI. You can go in and you create playlists. So it's all about adding a station. So I would go in, I would add a station. Who should I add this station around? Well, I guess we could take a look and see. Some of the stuff.
Don't mess up your algorithm.
I know. I don't want to mess up any algorithms.
Yeah.
But
choose carefully.
You know, we've got okay, David Bowie. I could do that.
Yeah.
Sure. Here's part of my playlist. Sure, more 70s. Why not? It's very. You know what? I'm gonna veer away from Elton John, but I like Neil Young. So there we go. And so I can create the station, right? I can include similar artists. I don't know what it does if I keep that off. I don't know if it keeps it to just David Bowie and Neil Young. That might be a little, I don't know. Sometimes these apps don't allow you to have
it?
That much control. Sure. So there we go. David Bowie, Neil Young, create station. Only, I'm assuming it's only going to include those artists. Neil Young on the beach starts playing. You can see the UI kind of changes. I actually like the UI focus, and you switch by just going up and down. Has the same kind of structure as far as like thumbs up, thumbs down. If I thumbs down, it skips to the next track. You only have a certain amount of skips. And this is available for free. So if you do not have a paid Spotify account, you can check this out. It's similar. Like I think the quality on free is 160 kilobytes per second, limited, and ads are inserted, I think, every 3 or 4 songs. If you have a paid Spotify account, no ads, and has a 360 kilobyte limit on the sound quality. You don't have a specific song search capability. It's only about creating these stations, and you can create a number of them and just put it on and let it play in the background. And yeah, it's called Spotify Stations.
How much can you shuffle? Do you know? Have you tried?
I don't know.
Pandora will stop you after like five or six.
And oh,
like,
if I skip? If I skip?
Yeah.
Well, let's try it right now. All right. So we're playing
I'm
on
sure
the
it's
beach.
Unlimited if you're paying for it.
One. You can skip 6 songs per hour.
Ah, okay.
Get more skips by, I'm sure, paying something. And we'll certainly find out what it is. Oh, to sign up for a premium
right.
account.
Okay.
So if you wanted more skips, you'd sign up okay. for a premium account. But you get 6 per hour, which that sounds pretty reasonable. Not too bad. Not too shabby. I'm not sure what happened there. But there you go. It's Spotify Stations. I think they literally just released it today. So this is hot off the presses for anyone outside of Australia. And yeah, I like it. So there you go. All right. Flo, well, this is weird because Ron was the winner of those participating, but he's not here.
So then you would go last for him.
Yeah.
Right?
So I'll go last for him. Yeah. So you go next.
All right. So this week I did not bring a utility app. I brought something that's just another show of the prowess of what your phone can do. So this is a Google blessed app, so to speak. It's called Weird Cuts and it uses AR. So you do need AR Core to get access to this particular app. But the nice thing about it is that it gives you a little bit of creativity in the AR space. So as you can see right here, we've got this lovely laptop space that I'm going to move because we're going to make a nice little space here. And you will see that there are already a toolbar of pre-populated shapes. These last two shapes here were ones that I made earlier today, which you can do with the scissors. So if I want to make a shape with a particular pattern on the inside, I would just, there you go. I just took one. So now I would like to make a person using these shapes. So what we're going to do is we're going to select the head and we're going to put the head there. Okay, great. Okay. I think we have enough room to put the body. Let's see. Let's put the body here. Let's make it bigger. Okay.
Okay.
Oops. I'm trying to make sure you could still see it. There we go. All right. I'm going to try and keep it right here. All right.
That's some beautiful art.
Well, problem with it, though, is that you can't move it after you've placed it, which also makes it kind of fun, actually, because then you're like, what am I doing? okay, let me put on some legs. Sorry, I don't realize how much I'm moving down. I want to put on some legs.
Uh-huh.
Just some legs.
This is really weird.
I think after some time, you will, like, figure out how to make your person. And you can make this as big or as small as you want. And as you can see, it's scalable.
It's beautiful.
And as I move in, you're moving in closer. And then look at the way,
layers underneath.
Look at the depth on this. Like you could see the layers. Uh-huh. You can see it's just like a cool way to interact. Let me try something. Okay, it doesn't work that way. I was kind of hoping that I could like put my hand in between layers. But
I don't know
about that.
Use your other hand. Try your other hand.
You mean at the same time?
There. Now we're taking a picture, right? Oh. Okay.
It's getting bigger. This is a weird app.
It is. Again, made with Google's blessing. I want to see what the end result's going to be. What is...
So it's like taking a timed picture?
There you go. It just took a little video.
Oh, I see. It's beautiful.
I haven't had that much whiskey tonight.
It's called weird.
Yes.
It's weird. It's weird.
So this is called Weird Cuts. And it's appropriately named.
Yeah, it's weird. Have some fun with it. Come on. It's summertime. Go outside and play.
So
make it weird.
So Weird Cuts is this an Android experiment?
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's not an Android experiment.
It looks like it could be.
It looks like it could be, but I think it was developed in collaboration with the Google Arts, the Google Arts and Culture.
Oh, okay.
So Yeah, and the idea is to make you the artist, the living artist. You too can have your AR art in the museum.
In the museum.
I think Picasso just said Whiskey Tango Foxtrot on that.
Well, he's missing an ear, so who's laughing now?
Yeah. He's also dead. Anywho, that's true. I speak the truth. All right. That is Weird Cuts.
But he'll remain alive through his paintings.
That's true. And how? All right, Ant. I have yours installed. I'll show it off while you talk about it.
All right. Well, I swear it seems like every time I'm on here, I'm talking about something from the folks at Adobe.
It's true.
Well, there's a reason for that. I use their products all the time. I'm a Creative Cloud subscriber. It's how I get a lot of my stuff done. And this particular service is called Adobe Spark, but the app that we're showing is called Spark Post. The Spark service has a couple different options, and you're generally going to use it for branding and marketing. Spark Post is probably the easiest way to get yourself into it and use it for free without having to have an Adobe account or a credit card on file or anything like that. I use Adobe Spark every single day as part of some of my social media strategy, whether I'm creating an Instagram story or a Twitter post or what have you. I'll even stick one here in our chat room for them to look at. And it's just another way to make your posts a little more engaging to the people that follow you. It really works well with Instagram stories because you can conform it to fit that actual 9:16 ratio, put extra little graphics on top of it, color grade it, use your own photos, use photos from Adobe stock. They have hundreds of beautiful images inside of this app that you can use as templates. Put all of the text on there the way you want it, shape it, size it. It's really, really useful from a branding standpoint. Now, if you want to use the paid version, you can make the branding things a little more personalized to your brand, far as the color schemes and the design and the different designs that are out there. But you can still get a lot done just from the free version, and it's pretty intuitive there, as you can see there on Jason's screen. Just tap through the colors, change opacity. And again, the design layouts, they have them specified where there's Twitter, because Twitter has its own layout for its posts, Facebook, Instagram Square, Instagram Landscape, Instagram Stories, Snapchat, lots and lots of different options to tailor to your marketing needs or just your engaging needs as far as social media goes. Like I said, I use it every single day. Usually my first morning post is something via Adobe Spark Post, such as using my man Kylo Finn the dog.
Nice.
Even look at the transitions with the text coming in, using that nice easy ease.
Yeah.
Glide Ooh. In. That's pretty
Settles
slick.
Into place. Nice. So this is Adobe Spark Post.
Right. And again, that's the free version. Adobe Spark has options where you can build little videos if you want via the web interface. You can also do like little Spark pages where you can share those out and bring someone over to like a little blog post, if you will. But this is in particular Spark Post. So you want to use it more so for social media. And this one is free unless you want to pay $10 a month just for the app alone. But if you're a Creative Cloud subscriber, you already get this app and service already.
Nice. They offer so much with that Creative Cloud service.
I was going to say, this is why I love Adobe. Like, I pay $10 a month right now for all the Lightroom stuff, and I get all of this too.
Photography package, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's interesting because when they first went to the subscription method, there was a lot of pushback on that. I was like, what? You know, because people just weren't okay with the fact that they weren't going to own their thing. They were going to pay a monthly
owning
fee,
is overrated in this day and age.
But for that's real, really shifted. It's shifted a lot.
Are coming around. You know, you get charged for additional updates if you buy your disc, if you will. And when version 3 comes out, you got to spend another couple hundred dollars for version 3. No, just sign up for a subscription plan. That's my two cents.
I'll stay connected to the cloud. It's fine.
I agree. I pay $100 a year for a Pro Tools, the audio suite software subscription. Nice. And, you know, I'd like, sure, you could spend $300-$400 on the software and own it, but then 3 years down the line, you will have not gotten many updates. You know, you'd be totally out of date and you'd have to do that again. And so I'm just like, you know what? $100 a year is worth it to me. Like
Pro Tools is legit.
Yeah. So there you go. Adobe Spark Post. Great pick. All right. This is where I'm supposed to pretend like I'm Ron, which I'm not going to do. No, Ron, you're going down. Check it out. I'm going to crash my phone with your app. No, I'm just kidding. Okay, so
I was going to say Ron is irreplaceable, but okay.
Ron gave me an app that is really difficult to explain. Thankfully, Ron explained it for me. So I'm going to go ahead and launch it. It's called Kids. It is $2.99. It's loading right now. So I will say that, like, I was playing around with it a little bit earlier, and it's its own kind of experience. It really just, it's hard to even know or make sense of it. So here's what Ron wrote.
Whoa.
Kids is an experience, minimalist design combined with subtle storytelling. So, and I'm just going to like insert my own little things in here. Things will appear on the screen and you got to like interact with them, but you aren't quite sure how to interact with them. And you just kind of got to play around with it. You can control the kids by tapping on them, and sometimes they go in one direction. Sometimes you can change their direction. Basically, with each scene, you're progressing to the next one by moving the kids along, either with the flow or against the flow. It really has to be seen to be believed. And you can see it now. Do you believe it? So here it is. You got to go through the tube, which is a little weird. Go ahead and flop through this tube here to where I'm not really quite sure. Apparently we've got more kids to flop through these tubes.
Oh, that's...
All right.
What
Get
are
down
we...
there, kids. Come on.
What is happening?
Yeah, that's basically this game in a nutshell. What is happening? It's a lot of this. Like, you don't really know what it all leads to. You just know that there's kids that appear on the screen and you've got to do stuff.
I wonder about these apps sometimes.
It's kind of, you know, this level's a little floppy.
Like, should you be sober while doing this? I don't know.
I think this might be enhanced if you were.
Yeah, I think it would be enhanced as well.
Come on, get down there. Get down there.
I like your use of the terminology enhanced, by the way. I'm going to have to steal that from you.
I think Ron is going to have to actually carry the podium out for us to stand on it, because he's clearly not going to stand on it.
I don't want to do this, but I have to.
What is happening? I'm so disturbed.
Peristalsis is what they call that.
Okay, so now I've got to pull him out of the ceiling.
What?
This is basically you're watching an acid trip.
This is an existential acid trip. That's what's happening. Like, who am I? Is it me or is it all these other me's?
Yeah, there's
all these. Oh no, it has existential sounds too. Just like, it's like ASMR.
It is. It is really. Sounds. It is. It kind of is.
This is when someone has had some really interesting weed.
Okay, so then.
Holy moly. No, you. No, you. No. Oh,
no,
wow.
You. I don't know who's going to do it. This game is called Kids. And it's exhausting.
It's all about your inner child. That's what this is. I'm telling you, this is a really deep app that Ron brought.
Deep how?
I mean, think about it. These are all your inner selves that are struggling with one another. Uh-huh. And they're trying to find a way to unify. And that's what this whole story is about. See, it's so psychological.
Oh, I figured it out. I figured it out on this one. I keep tapping the same one and they all point at him. So now we know who you is. Next level. All right, this is what you get. It's just crazy. It's called Kids, and I curse Ron for discovering it, because I wish I had. $2.99.
Support your devs.
And it is really weird.
Even if
all right,
weird.
Ron, fine. I really wanted to sabotage your game
that was
or whatever it is, but I can't because it's very unique.
It was really entertaining.
That was one of the best laughs of the night, though, for real.
See, it's all about your inner selves, I'm telling you.
Yeah.
I should write an essay about this.
Yeah, I know. There's a lot to be said about that app. You can place your vote for your favorite app this week. Is it Spotify Stations, which sounds really boring after that last app, Weird Cuts, Adobe Spark Post, or Kids? Go to twit.to/AAAPoll423, twit.to/AAAPoll423, and place your vote. Victor is circling. Where is he going to land? Adobe Spark Post.
He wants something utilitarian. Victor's he doesn't want our weird, my weird app or Ron's app.
Oh, wow. Spotify Stations, 6 votes. Adobe Spark Post, 3 votes. And it's still early. Ron, don't take it personally. Okay.
I just like that he and I both brought weird apps to the arena tonight. Clearly, Ron and I are in some sort of wavelength that we'll never be able to explain.
It's
spirits.
Almost you like you were born on the same day.
It's sure, almost right. Like we were born on the same day.
Yeah. Very bizarre.
I might try using that Weird Cuts app with Spark Post.
Oh.
Oh.
I dig that. I dig that.
That could get really weird. And do it while you have kids running on your tablet next to you while you're listening to music on Spotify.
Challenge accepted.
All right, good. We've wrapped it all up. And that is that. We've reached the end. We've run out of show. There is no more show to present to you. But Ant Pruitt, always a pleasure getting you on, man. Thank you so much for hopping on and being our guest today. We really appreciate it.
Hey, I appreciate you all having me on. It is always an honor.
Always a pleasure having you on, man. What do you want people to know? Obviously, you do your fine work at techrepublic.com. Working on anything right now that you want people to stay tuned for?
Actually, yeah. I still have some more projects to get written up for the folks at Tech Republic, which I appreciate them having me on. But actually, I really want people to hop on over to Instagram and YouTube and give me a follow and a subscription because unfortunately, those numbers matter when it comes to me getting some work, you know. So if you got a second, hop on over to Instagram.com/AntPruitt and hit that follow button there. And then jump on over to YouTube, YouTube.com/AntPruitt, and just hit the subscribe button over there. I just posted an unboxing video of another VR 360 camera that was sent to me today. And I appreciate all of that support over there.
Right on. And it's a lot of fun getting you on. We didn't even get to talk about drones this time, but next time. Next time.
I haven't been able to fly very often. You know, now that we have nice weather, I haven't had any time because I've been playing around with AI cameras and VR cameras and stuff like that.
Oh, that's a bummer. That's such a bummer. Well, thank you again. And we'd love to have you back soon. It's always great.
Thank you.
And Flo, what you working on?
Playing with stuff for a living is hard because you play with stuff for a living, but then you also have to play with stuff for a living. So you don't get to play with what you want to play.
Right.
You want to play with it.
It's true.
Speaking of playing, I guess I'm a Twitch streamer now. I don't know. Just come follow me on Twitch. I'm twitch.tv/ohthatflow. You know my handle. It's all over the internet. I'm also the same on Instagram and on Twitter. And also, I had an article go up this morning in Lifehacker, Lifehacker.
Oh?
You know I'm from print, the print world, because I say in, not on. It's all about iOS 13 and Android Q and what they've got similar to one another.
Oh.
Yes. And that is a graphic that I put together with my very limited Photoshop skills.
Hey, it works. Nice work.
You made it work. Cool. So they can go to Lifehacker. People can go to Lifehacker and look for how does iOS 13 stack up to Android Q?
Yes.
Right on.
Spoiler alert, Android Q had a lot of the features already.
Shocking.
Shocking, exactly.
Thank you, Flo.
Street View, what's that?
Dark mode.
Oh, we're going to call it look around. Okay, sorry. It's just... Look around.
Look up. Do it down.
I love the Venom.
Thank you, Victor. Appreciate your help. And thank
no problem.
You, John. Appreciate your help as well. You've been scrambling. because we've had a few set changes and stuff, so we really appreciate you guys. And thanks to folks who came in to watch us on their 15th. Literally, they're here for their 15th wedding anniversary. Ava and Cesar from Corpus Christi, Texas, are in the audience, and we're super thrilled that you guys took you guys 2 hours of your anniversary to spend with us. It's really great to have you here, and congratulations. There they are, right over there. There we go. You can find me here on Twit doing shows. It's what I do, twit.tv. You can also find me on Twitter at Jason Howell if you want to find me there. That's cool. I'll see you there. But that's it for this week. Leave us a voicemail, 347-SHOW-AAA. You can send us emails at AAA@twit.tv. Find us on Twitter. We are at Android Show. Arena Apps List at twit.to/Android Apps. Show notes of past episodes can be found at twit.tv/AAA. Go there. You're going to find all the information about this show. Everything that you need to know as far as the podcast subscription links, audio and video both, all of the live information that we record live every Tuesday 5 p.m. Pacific, twit.tv/live, all that stuff is there. The links to the Twit Wiki, everything can be found at twit.tv/AAA. And real quick before we end, I just want to give a big salute to Alex, who his last day was today, and I've worked here at Twit with Alex. Well, as long as I've been here, Alex has been here. He started, I think, was it a week or a month before I did, back in 2012. So it's been a little while. And was it 2010 or 2012? I'm losing track at this point. It might have been 2010, actually. Anyways, he started one week or so before me, and today was his last day, and I'm going to miss him tremendously. What's that?
Burke just came in with a correction.
No.
Oh.
No, he was here before me.
Oh.
Well, maybe not as an employee, he was definitely in the facility.
Stop fighting. Stop fighting.
Jeez, Burke, the knowledge police. He's just coming down off his own bummer cloud.
He's processing. I'm processing. I'm not going to have Alex here watching me.
Yeah,
my one
looking all bored over there. Going,
I didn't think he looked bored.
Anyways, I'm gonna miss Alex. He's always been a lot of fun to work with. He's going on to bigger and better things in Seattle, of all places. He's got a big job at a big TV studio there doing engineering, and so he deserves all the best. And I'm super happy and proud of him. So, Alex, go kick some butt. And outside of that, we've reached the end of the show. We'll see y'all next week on another episode of All About Android. Bye, everybody.